Hello, everybody, and welcome to 2022 with Smart Money Moves with Helena. Happy New Year out there, everybody. I have missed you all. It's been probably a month since my last show, so I am so happy to be back in my audience, get a chance to go over my 10 Smart Money Moves to become financially fit in 2022. I don't know about you guys out there, but I had a very fulfilling holiday time. a lot of family, a lot of friends dealing with getting out of 2021 and into 2022. It has been a lot. And just, I always want to send my prayers out there for everybody who is dealing with something. This new variant of coronavirus is doing a lot to a lot of people. I think pretty much all the households I know had someone affected with it, including ours. So definitely happy to be here and bring in the new year with you guys as we get into Smart Money Moves for 2022. So you guys know I'm a teacher by trade. So my hope is that everybody will have a notebook out there, write down these 10 Smart Money Moves. And I really encourage everybody to take the time to go through all of them and see where you stand on each and every one of them, because it's going to take work in order to become financially fit for 2022. So these are just some of the strategies that I believe that are very necessary to become financially fit this year, but it takes work for each of them. So I will go over them and go into some detail about them and, you know, have a few of you guys chime in here as well, but just really excited to jump into this. And yes, happy hump day, everybody. So let's jump right into it and start with number one for our Smart Money Move. It is to create your goals. Okay. So I'm sure everybody out there has created at some point in time a vision board, or if you haven't, I definitely encourage you to do so. But one thing that I've been working on with my vision board is just understanding really what its purpose is and what's the follow-up to the vision board. So your vision board, in my opinion, is something that is, you know, for what you see for yourself for your entire future. Okay. Not just a year at a time. I think we should be doing goal setting to make sure that we are achieving our vision that we have set for ourselves on our vision board. But our vision board shouldn't necessarily change every single year. I also like to encourage people when you are creating your vision board and therefore following up with your annual goals to achieve those things, to break them into four categories. Okay. So those four categories that I always encourage people to utilize and centralize everything around are: first is health. Second is any business goals that you have for yourself. And you can call that a career as well. Thirdly is your income goals, which you might, you know, try to cross over between two and three, but income is specific as far as the amount of money that you want to be able to bring in from the business slash your career goals. And then thirdly are relationships. Okay. I think it is very, very important for all of us to understand and be in relationship with those that are helping us become the best version of ourselves. So my vision board is set up in those four categories. And then each year when I do Smart Money Move number one, which is make sure my goals are set, listed out completely, clearly, and all of that, that I have them going toward those four different categories: health, business, income, and relationship. Okay. So when I say your vision board shouldn't be a whole new one every year, doesn't mean that I don't say, you know, add things to it as you continue to, you know, broaden your horizons of what you want out of life. But it's the goal setting that is changing every single year as you come closer to achieving the vision that you see for yourself. And you might look up 5 years now from now, 10 years from now, and you'll say, you know what? I really got everything that it was that I was looking for. everything. But when you look at that and when you focus on it every single day, every single month, it definitely will come true. So creating your goals is number one. Smart money move number one. Make sure that you create your goals. And I encourage you to do it in those four categories. And one thing I say about goals is definitely we talked about making them a SMART goal, specific, measurable, attainable, relatable, or realistic, and time bound. But what I would encourage you to do as far as these four categories is to focus on about three, no more than three per category for your 2022. Okay. So three health goals, three business / career goals, three income goals, and three relationship goals. Okay. And I do this every single year, and I am a checker, an accountability person. So I like to check in on my goals at least quarterly. So we will have that around the first quarter mark is how are we doing on our goals? But to make sure that you're actually moving toward achieving them, because you know there needs to be a plan behind all of the goals, or if not, they're just dreams. So that is smart money move number one. Now, smart money move number two, and these are in no particular order. I just had to list them out for you. Okay. So for number two, I tell people at the top of every year, you should take some time to review your expenses and rework your budget. Okay. That is a very daunting task for a lot of people. It is very interesting to pull out not only one bank statement, but maybe two or maybe even three. And if you're like me, you have multiple accounts where money comes out of. It could be a business account. It could be a personal checking. It could be your, you know, summer saver. I come from the education world. It could be your gift account for the holidays. It could be your, you know, entertainment account, whatever it is. But do an itemization of your expenses. Okay. That is step number one in reviewing your expenses so you can rework your budget. Okay. And I encourage you when you do that to pull out at least 2 to 3 months of those bank statements in order to really review them. And you probably don't want to use December. So even though it's the most recent, as far as probably prices go and what you spend on certain things, is usually the most out of whack as well, because a lot of us spend a lot of money during the holidays, which we'll jump into at one of our other smart money moves. But you want to make sure, I tell people, don't use a holiday month, don't use a birthday month, but review your 2021 in order to really know what your expenses are for 2022. That itemization is very, very tedious. But what I suggest people do is that you literally line by line on a printed out statement, make sure you account for every single dollar that comes out. If you do that, when I typically do that with people and encourage people to do that, they find there is a lot of money going places that they paid no attention to because it just started happening. It's been going on for a while and no one takes a moment to check into it. When doing that, I encourage people to cancel unnecessary subscriptions. Okay. You start doing the check. That's why it has to be itemized one at a time. Because if we go from memory, we're going to think that we know everything that's there and we don't. But you'll start to see that you have tons of subscriptions that you probably do not use. Whether it's the music apps, whether it's the streaming services, every month, I swear, there's a new streaming service that comes out. We have our Netflix, our Hulu, our Tubi, our Paramount, our Peacock, our this, our that, our everything. And I'm not here to encourage or discourage any of those. However, a lot of people, once they take the time to see how much is going there and how little it may be being used, that is something that you can definitely use to rework your budget once you know that it's happening. So again, that's why it goes back to itemizing line by line. Also, what you'll tend to find when you do this itemization is you'll see that there are some fees that are coming out of your accounts that you may not be aware of. Whether that is a monthly fee, because most checking accounts, business and personal checking accounts, they'll have a fee unless certain things are done. Maybe that is a certain minimum balance on a daily basis. Maybe it's a certain number of deposits. Maybe it's a certain maximum of transactions. Who knows? But when you're doing that itemization, make sure you're looking into all of the different bank fees that come out of your account, because you want to make sure that you have a clear view of your expenses. Because I always tell people, it's very hard to set a budget without knowing exactly what's happening. Because if you are spending a certain amount of money, is it realistic for you to just cut that in half with just some random number? Probably not. So knowing where the money is going by reviewing your expenses, then you're able to rework the budget. How much do I truly need to have going toward this or going toward that or going toward that? And then that will help you to know exactly what your budget is for, let's say, the year. And I tell people, whenever it comes to, you know, doing your planning, as long as you stay on top of it, things can always be adjusted. Okay. But maybe it's for the first quarter, this is a budget, or maybe you know that there's something, you know, that's going to come up or something that's going to go away. Maybe you'll be done, you know, paying off something, or maybe, you know, you're going to have a new car note come in, or maybe the child is going to leave the home, something, right? So you can start anticipating once you see a clear a list of everything that you spend. And there's so many budget worksheets out there that people have access to. I give them out all the time to people to make sure that, you know, they just know what categories they're looking at. But if you do the itemization, then you're good to go. Okay. So that'll help you, again, cancel any unnecessary subscriptions, reduce any unnecessary banking fees, and just really understand how to work those accounts the way that they need to be worked. If it's, you know, adding transactions or creating a direct deposit or something like that. Okay. When that happens as well, if these are your savings accounts, then also pay attention to if there's any kind of interest on those accounts and which one may be doing better for you that you can utilize as far as your savings. Okay? And that's all while you are reviewing your expenses and reworking your budget. So that's smart money move number two. Okay. Number three is to build and or boost your emergency fund. And this one, there is something important to the order that I put it in. Okay. An emergency fund is, by definition, from my definition, it is having at least 3 to 6 months expense or 3 to 6 months of liquid money to cover your expenses. Okay. Most people do not know what their expenses are. So how do you know if you have that proper emergency fund out there? And so that's why I always tell people, when it comes to that, you want to know exactly what your expenses are. And when you're reviewing those expenses, one thing I should have added is, what are the fixed expenses and what are the variable expenses that can be adjusted? See, your fixed expenses have to get paid. Okay. For the most part, that's the mortgages, the rents, the car notes, the school tuitions, you know, things that happen on a monthly basis. And if they don't, we have a big, big problem. Then we have our variable expenses, which is our eating out, our beauty, our entertainment, our gift giving, our traveling. Yeah, those things are necessary, but they're variable, and if they need to be reduced, they're the easier thing to reduce. So I like to separate those. So when building your emergency fund, 3 to 6 months, and if you want to be fantastic with it, go for a whole year, okay? But I can tell you, anybody who was affected by the pandemic when it first came on in 2020, they definitely were happy if they had 3 to 6 months of their expenses, if not a year. And so many people did not. It's very, very important that you have liquid access to at least 3 to 6 months of your expenses while you figure out. Okay. Now, here's the other thing. This emergency fund should only be used, it's my opinion, in the event of an income interruption. That is separate than emergencies. I blew out a tire. My refrigerator went out. Should also have money set aside for emergencies, rainy day, as they like to say. For me, I distinguish an emergency fund should only be touched in the interruption of income. Take a pay cut, lose a job, lose a person, a breadwinner. Those things are when you need an emergency fund to kick in. Okay. Then, and if you have it, then that's when you're going to build upon it. And you're going to keep doing it until you get to the number that you feel comfortable with, my opinion, at least 3 to 6 months of those expenses. Okay. Now, that money should be kept somewhere liquid. You don't want to have this money where you cannot access it, where you have to have some sort of fees, where you have to have some sort of penalties, or where you're charged some high interest rates, i.e. credit cards are not emergency funds, even though a lot of us have or do use it as an emergency fund. So it is very important when you're doing your budgeting, right, when you're planning out your budget, that part of it includes money going away to get to that emergency fund as quickly as possible, not expecting or being comfortable with the fact that our credit card can be our emergency fund as well. Okay. Now, number four. Okay. Number four is, I believe, every single year you should take a look and review your credit report. Okay. A lot of things happen where people can get access to your credit. And there are things that can appear on your credit report that you have no clue even exist. Okay. So you want to know and you want to get a full credit report. Okay. I love Credit Karma. I love all the other little fancy quick apps that allow you to see what is a glimpse in their world of what your financial situation is. But a full credit report that shows all three, in my opinion, you want to see all three the credit bureaus, which are Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. Okay. And there are different websites out there that will give you an annual free credit report. And I believe that is the website. Annual free credit report or freecreditreport.com. But there are definitely ways to get free credit reports at least once a year. Okay. I still love all of the, you know, the banking institutions that give the, you know, the credit access, pay an extra fee and have identity theft and pay attention to your credit and stay on top of it. But at least minimally do a full credit review at least once a year. Is what I encourage, especially if you have goals. One of those goals that you listed ahead are some big purchases. Okay. You want to know exactly what's happening with your credit, every single piece of it. Okay. So doing that review and staying on top of it, because that might be one of your goals, is improving your credit. Well, then in that case, you need to meet with a credit specialist so they can explain to you, you know, what things take more effect on your credit versus others. So definitely encourage you having your own information before you seek out anything extra. Okay. So again, from all three of the credit bureaus, you want to make sure that you have access to that. And like I said, it really is affected for people who have plans to do things financially for the year, purchase a home, purchase a car, wanting to, you know, get business loans, business credit, things like that. Knowing exactly where you stand is very, very important and how things truly, truly affect your credit. Now, actually, one of our shows coming up, I'm going to have some credit specialists on here who talk not only about how to, you know, make sure your credit is good, but how to really leverage credit. Okay. Because there are some fantastic things that we can do with leveraging our credit. That is not my specialty. I'm learning it myself as I am, you know, continuing to build my portfolio and, you know, become financially fit and the best that I can be. But there's definitely ways for us to be able to leverage credit to do different things. And so I'll definitely have some experts on here to do that. And again, you guys follow me on any of the platforms, there's always a connection that I have to somebody, because that's what I try to do, is be a connector of people. So definitely, you know, check that out as well. But getting that review, not just getting it, but reviewing that credit report for the year. Smart money move number 5. Okay. So 5 is a big one. And this is probably the top, I would say, 2 or 3 goals that people have in their life and on a regular basis. And that is make a plan to pay off your debt. Okay. So most people out there have debt. There's some good debt, there's some bad debt, but most people out there have some form of debt. And every year I encourage people to do a full analysis of their debt. So just like you broke down all of your expenses by reviewing several months of your bank statements, I encourage you to get a statement for any and all debt that you have. Okay. Any and all debt, and be on top of it. I'm a spreadsheet girl. It's my favorite way to work. I'm still very old school with that, but I have a spreadsheet that has all the expenses. I have a spreadsheet that has all of the liabilities, which is what debt is. You know, what are the interest rates that I'm paying on any of the debt that I have? How long is the debt expected to be there? But have a full analysis of what my debt is. Okay. Now, I said make a plan to pay off the debt. Don't just look at the debt and get mad at it, right? And I'm sure a few of us out there got a little bit extra debt with the holiday, right? Because like we talked about on the last show, before we ended 2021, a lot of people do not properly plan for their holiday spending. So it creates debt for a lot of people, but that debt should also be included. Okay. You may have, you know, credit card debt that is, you know, installment loan, right? It's going to end after a certain number of payments, or you may have the mortgage debt, or you may have the car loan, or, you know, just revolving credit card debt, student loan debt, all kinds of debt that we have. And I know I showed you guys at one point in time, the U.S. debt clock, to show you how much debt we as American citizens have. And it is absolutely a huge, huge number you would never consider. So what is your contribution to that debt? Where do you stand with that? Again, your interest rates, when do they need to be paid back, and all of that, in order to know where you're at, so then you can make the plan to pay off that debt. Now, I've mentioned a couple of these suggestions before, but I just want to, you know, put them all together. And there's 3 things that I tell people to, you know, pay attention to and see which one works for them when it comes to making that plan to pay off debt. One of them is called the snowball method. One of them is called the avalanche method. And the last one is the balance transfer method. Okay. So in no particular order, if we talk about the snowball method when it comes to paying off your debt. Again, you need to list every, which is a task, which does not feel good to a lot of people, but you still need to know exactly what it is. But with the snowball method, a lot of people tend to go this way because it tends to make people feel accomplished sooner, because it says you pay the smallest debt off first. So if you have a bunch of different credit cards or student loan or car loan, mortgage, all these things, and you list them out in order of what is the biggest amount of debt, and you start knocking little ones out one by one, that makes a lot of people feel a lot better. But here's the trick, and this is what we have to be able to do if you really want it to become, you know, a snowball, right? A snowball doesn't just start with one little snowball and stay the same size the whole time it rolls. It picks up more snow, right? And so with the snowball effect, once you pay off that smallest one, it's not new money for you to spend. Okay. Once you pay off the small one, let's say it's $70 a month, then that $70 is added to the next smallest monthly payment. Okay. Then when that second smallest bill or debt is paid off, then you add that 70 plus whatever that was. Let's say it was 150. So that's what, 220. You add that to the next one. Okay. And so it's in, And along the way, you're paying the minimum on everything. Okay. Goes back to the credit report. We don't want to go into, you know, bad credit because we're not making our payments, our minimum payments. But while you're making the minimum payments of everything, you pay the smallest one. Once that pays off, then you add that amount to the next smallest, add those two amounts to the third smallest, and so forth and so on. And then that will allow you to, a lot of us, like I said, feel accomplished when we can meet small goals. And so that's a way that a lot of people are able to do to get to their debts. And again, once your debts are all analyzed and listed out, okay? Now, the avalanche method, okay? The avalanche method is probably financially, number-wise, the smarter way to do things. Because what it does is it pays the highest interest one off first, regardless if it is the smallest amount balance or the largest amount. Okay, but it pays the largest interest first, because if you're continuing to rack up a bunch of negative interest, then it does hurt. Okay. But like I said, a lot of people use a snowball because they want to build some small wins along the way. And on the avalanche, maybe your largest interest is also your largest credit card. So then it works together. I mean, your smallest credit card. So then it will work together. But in the avalanche method, it's saying take the highest interest rate. That's why I said when you itemize your credit, you want to actually list out every single thing. What are the interest rates? How long do they have? Who's the creditor? All of that stuff. Okay. And then you can pick these things, whether you're going to do the snowball or the avalanche method. Okay. Same thing though with the avalanche as with the snowball. Once you pay off that highest interest, then make sure you add that number of that payment to the next highest interest, and then you work it that way. Okay. Both of them will get the debt paid off as long as we do what? Don't go back into debt. I.e., go back up to number three, which says have an emergency fund, because we typically go into debt because we did not have our funds in place, emergency fund and funds for emergencies. And that's when we end up going into debt. Now, the balance transfer method. Many of places out there, you can have a ton of debt or a little bit of debt. There are plenty of places that will give you balance transfer offers. Okay. And of course, the best balance transfer offer, if you're going to use one, is the ones that come with a 0% APR. Okay. You may have a credit card interest rate that's 7%, or that's, you know, 17%, because we know they can get really, really large, but it depends. Okay. If you get a balance transfer for 0% or 0.9 or 1%, whatever it is, here's what you have to do though. You have to then see how long the balance transfer APR is good for. It may be 10 months, 12 months, 18 months, whatever it is. But the amount that you transfer, you need to divide that by that many months. And that determines how much you pay per month, not the minimum. Because they will give you a minimum amount that will be much less than what it takes to pay it off in that 0% time. They know what they're doing. Okay. So if you can't afford that monthly amount in order to pay it off, in some instances, if you make it past that balance transfer APR and you don't pay it off, they'll go tack on all the interest from when you first did the transfer. So take my advice, and if you do a balance transfer, make sure that you know exactly how much needs to be paid on a monthly basis so that it is paid off by the end of the balance transfer APR. And side note, there is a fee to do a balance transfer. They're not giving you this for free. They're going to make some money, and it's typically, I think, between 3% and 5%. Okay. So calculate all of that in when you decide if that's what you're going to do to pay off your debt. Because yes, if you can get a 0% balance transfer or interest rate on a balance transfer, and you can transfer over a 17% credit card, you're probably going to be winning. That's a lot of interest saved. Okay. So those are the three methods that I encourage people to look into when it comes to making a plan to pay off their debt, but only after you list out your debt, you know exactly where you stand. And if getting out of debt is one thing that's important to you for your 2022 goals, then I suggest you take care of one of those plans. And here's the wonderful thing. You can switch it up. If you start with the snowball and you get enough small wins and you want to go on and move over to the avalanche where you pay the biggest interest, do it. Do it. Just make sure you keep a track of where you are so you know exactly what plan you're doing and that is getting worked properly. Okay. And do not lose track of when the balance transfer APR is up. Take my advice. All right. So smart money move number six. Okay. Review your insurance coverage. Okay. Things happen all day, every day in life. You want to review all of your insurance coverages. We typically do this when the policy is up. If we're talking about property and casualty, maybe our homeowner's insurance or car insurance. I know mine comes up in February, so I'm always looking at that because, you know, I pay annual on that. But you want to know for the year, have things changed in your life that require you to change your insurances? Life insurance should be reviewed every single time there is a life change. But as a blanket statement, you want to do it at least annually. Why change it whenever there's a life change? Because life insurance is meant to cover your responsibilities in case you pass away. And as your responsibilities change, so should your life insurance. I.e., you have another kid. That's a responsibility change I hear from parents. You get married. That's a responsibility change. You get divorced. That's a responsibility change, right? I know Dr. Dre just finalized his divorce from his wife, and $100 million later, you know, he is divorced and has a lot less responsibility and liabilities, okay? So you should always look into, you could purchase a home, you could be selling the home, you could have a kid that just went off to college, you could have had a new baby, whatever it is, as life changes, you always want to review your insurance coverages. As a licensed life insurance agent, you wouldn't believe how many times I sit down with people and the coverage that they have in place, they've had for 25 years. At its core, it's meant to cover your liabilities at death. And in 25 years, your liabilities have changed, either more or less, but they have changed after 25 years. So why is it that it hasn't changed with us? And just like a lot of other coverages out there, they update them and they upgrade them. We change our cell phones and update our cell phones every year, if not 2 years. Same thing as things get more interesting, as more bells and whistles get on our plans, we need to be able to review. So I always encourage you to take time at the top of the year to review your life insurances, review your car insurances, review your home insurances, review your mortgage. Check to see that you have enough life insurance coverage to cover your mortgage. Because mortgage insurance, I just did a talk last night with some of my real estate partners. Mortgage insurance is not the one that comes with your payment. That is protecting the lender. That is not protecting you if life changes. So you having your own outside life insurance coverage is necessary. So review it. Is it enough? Is it the right kind? Is it too much? Okay. So do that review along with all of your other insurance reviews. Okay. Car insurance, homeowners insurance, home warranties, all those different things you want to check into, renter's insurance, all of it. Okay. It's so important. Find a licensed life insurance person, an expert, hopefully, that can review different plans with you to make sure that you are keeping up with what you need for your situation. They are not all created equally, you guys. Okay, not at all. They do different. They work different. They have more bells and whistles. The what do I have now? The Galaxy Fold is different than the Galaxy S9. They're just totally different. They do more things, and you want to make sure that you're staying up to date with stuff. So do that. That is smart money move number six. Okay. And when we look at that, and I do go into detail when it comes to life insurance, because that is my expertise, is make sure if you do your coverage review, if it's term coverage, if it's permanent coverage, and if it's term coverage, when does it expire? That is something that you must pay attention to. If you have a temporary plan, i.e. the coverage is going to end or your price is going to shoot up, you need to know that as early as possible. Because when you have a term coverage, which I love term, I do, but I love it in complement to a permanent plan, because once that level term ends, it is a substantial jump in premium to where people typically cannot afford to pay it, from $150 a month to 10 to 1,000 per month. That's what I'm talking about at the end of these 20 and 30 year terms. So if it is term, when you're doing your review, when does it end? And should I consider converting? Should I consider getting a permanent plan? Or do I already have a permanent plan? And is that going to be enough when this term ends? Because I sat down with too many people that when it ended, they could no longer get covered. And that amount that it jumped to automatically was unaffordable. So please, please, please do that thorough of a review. And if you do not have a person, find a person. Again, follow me on any of my social media handles, which I'll make sure that I get out there for everybody. HelenaJ313 on Instagram, or Helena J. Connolly Insurance Solutions on Facebook. But you want to get an expert to review that for you. Now, number seven, automate your savings. Okay. A lot of people save last. That is not the way the wealthy does. Becoming financially fit, make sure that you have your savings together in your short term, your medium term, and your long term. So my suggestion is to automate your savings. So that emergency fund that we talked about earlier, it's not just pay it when I can. If your expenses, let's say once you do step two, right, reviewing your expenses and figuring out what your budget is, it comes out that you need $7,000 a month to financially live. And you want to do at least 3 months. So $21,000 is what you need to save. How much are you going to put away, and by when do you expect to have that done? That's the planning that has to be done, and make it automatic. It comes out. I know some people's W-2s, they'll send money to different banks. So maybe your emergency fund is in a different bank, so it's not to be touched, and it could go there automatically. If not, then you get direct deposit, which I think mostly everybody does, then you get paid on a fifth, then your money needs to get moved over on the sixth. That's how automatic it needs to be able to become for your savings. Same thing for your long term in your retirement. Whichever retirement planning you choose to do, it should be automated. Most of us, right, at some point in time, or still do, use some sort of job retirement account. 401k, 403b, 457, TSP, something like that. And those are already automated, okay? But when you review, which we're going to do number four, is review your investments in long-term planning, right? There's ways that we need to pay attention to which ones we need to do more of or less of. But automated, regardless. If you are planning for something within the short term that is not the emergency fund, maybe you guys have a trip coming up at the end of the year. Maybe there's a wedding. I have a good girlfriend who's getting married in a couple months. Whatever it is, you should automate that. Because if you choose to save last, it will typically not be done as effective as it needs to be. Do you think that Uncle Sam trusts us to allow us to give him his money later? No, not at all. So why would we trust ourselves to pay ourselves last? Okay, it has to come first. And one thing that I'm personally working on to become even more financially fit for 2022 is to be able to save at least 50% of my income. That's my goal, because that's what the wealthy do. Save 50, however they save it, whether it's investments, this, that, whatever, which we'll talk about, but save 50% and live off of 50% of my income. So I have to automate the other 50%, because pretty much everything is already automated. That's why I told you, you can look at your bank statements to be able to figure out what your expenses are, because we use a card for everything. Or is an automatic draft that comes out. So do the same thing for your savings. Automate them, the short term and the long term, i.e. retirement. Okay. Step number eight. Okay. Number eight, smart money move says to review and adjust accordingly your investment portfolio. Okay. So review it, similar to what we did with debt, similar to what we did with our expenses. Get a hold of all of your paperwork, all of it, okay? And be able to list out where all of your assets are and where they're going, okay? When you do this review, you're listing out your retirement, you're listing out your brokerage accounts, you're listing out your real estate investments, you're listing out your savings accounts, your money markets, all of your investment portfolio. You want to know exactly what it is, where it is. I call this the service that I provide, personal financial checkup. You got to know where everything is. So get all those papers, open them at least once a year, because how many of us actually open up all the statements that come to us? Very few. But do a thorough review on your portfolio and make adjustments accordingly. See, there's three types of investments. There's a conservative, there's a moderate, and then there's the high risk. And depending on where you are in life, depending on what you have access to, we typically change or not navigate through those three different categories based on what we're trying to do. Me personally, if it is a necessity, i.e. my retirement, I need to know that it's going to be there. It is not going to sit at a high 100% risk. Me personally, because it's a necessity. Just like if I plan on getting married at the end of this year, I'm not going to guess whether my marriage money is going to be there or not, depending on how I choose to put it as a part of my portfolio. So look and see where you are in life and what your goals are for your money, so you can decide how much of it is going to be conservative, moderate, or high risk. And there are hybrids of those. Okay. So always remember, when you're talking about investments and you're talking about the risk investments, even though they could be great right now or were great last year, every person in the financial industry will tell you, remember, past performance is not indicative of future results. So just because you had a great last year does not say that you will get those same returns later. So be very mindful when you're choosing how to do what it is that you do with your portfolio. So review it first, and then decide any modifications that may need to happen. This is where you need a trusted financial professional to help you do that. It's not just Googling. It's someone with some sort of credentials to make sure that at least the part they can help you with, they're an expert at. Okay? Being able to see your entire situation is very, very important. Okay, and make adjustments accordingly. One thing that I say when it comes to that, after you list out all of these different assets, okay, all of these different, your portfolio, you want to do a check and ask yourself. There used to be a commercial by a company called ING that used to say, what's your number? And in doing that, they would ask, how much money do you need in your future to be financially okay? If you don't know that number, then how do you know that your portfolio is working the way that you want it to work? Are you planning to have a retirement that includes $500,000, $1 million, $2 million? What is it? But you need to really sit down and, again, have a financial professional review with you so you know exactly how close you are to your goal or how short. That's why this is an annual thing. Because as things change, so should you. I thought I was going to be working forever when I was in education. There's no way I'm working till I'm 65, 70 years. I'm not doing it. So I had to re-evaluate my financial situation in order to figure out how I would make changes to that, which is actually going to be number 10. So again, with number 8, review and adjust accordingly your investment portfolio. List out everything you have. What are they doing? How are they performing short, medium, long term in order to decide what plans you need to continue with, add to, make changes with, all of that, and get financial help for that. Okay. Number 9, coming up on the rear here. Number nine says reconsider your tax withholding. For those of us who are, for those of you guys who are W-2 employees, okay, a lot of people look forward to a tax refund. Okay, it's about that time right now. A lot of people have a lot of big plans when they get their tax refunds. Okay, and so what a tax refund means is that throughout the year, you were giving the IRS, i.e. Uncle Sam, too much of your money. And he has to then go back and make good on it by giving you the refund. Now, my question is, how much money did he make on that 1 year of money that he took extra from you? All the employees that are out here, how many dollars extra, hundreds of thousands, millions, whatever it is, dollars extra, did he make that he was able to just go back and pay it out? He, the IRS, I'm talking about, you know, figuratively speaking, Uncle Sam, in order to give everybody these chunks of tax refunds. What could you do extra with that money? If you kept it in your own pocket and in April, you just broke even. I am not a tax professional. Let me put that disclaimer out there. But there are plenty of tax professionals that can gauge based on your past performance, how you can set up your withholdings so that you break even at the end, i.e. you have more money in your pocket on a monthly basis. And not in the IRS's pocket for them to make millions off of. So definitely reconsider with a tax professional. Okay. Are you doing the right withholdings? All right. Now, coming to the end. Smart, and I am going to recap for everybody. Smart money moves number 10. Decide if it is time for a new job, a new income, passive income. Why? Because the majority of places where people work, they are not planning on giving you any additional money to get you closer to any of those goals that you have at the top that we started with. your health goals, your business goals, your income goals, your relationship goals, because most of them have a financial value underlying. So once you figure out what your goals really are and what the financial number behind them are, okay, and you do number eight, review and adjust your investment portfolio accordingly, and you figure out what your number is, you will probably make a decision that you need extra income. Majority of people are falling very short on becoming financially fit in any year. Close to retirement, far from retirement, it does not matter. It does not matter at all. Okay. So you have to decide, is it time for a new job, which may be based on your health? Your job is driving you insane. It may be the relationships that is putting on you that is just not working for you. It may be a part of the income falling really, really short. It may be a part of your business or career goals to make a change. Any one of the four that we talked about at the beginning. But decide, is it time for a new and or an additional income stream? And hear me when I tell you, not all additional income stream requires you to work a whole another 40 to 50 hours per week. But once you take a full look at your financial situation, you want to be able to answer that question for yourself. Now, I'm a math person, okay? We know this, right? My major is math. I have two math degrees. I've taught every level of math. So in order to help people to put some numbers behind their financial goals, I'm going to do an equation, which many of you guys have probably heard of before. We talked about compound interest before, but there is something called the rule of 72 that explains, you know, what kind of interest rate you need to get in order for your money to double. So I'm going to do what I call the rule of 72 backwards in order to help people figure out where they are in having enough for their future. Most people would say, and you've seen it, Reddit, wherever it is, the Yahoo, the finance, all the different things, will say you need at least about $2 million to financially be okay in your future. You retire 65, 70, you live to somewhere between 85 and 100, couple million dollars. Okay, that's the number. Okay, so what the rule of 72 says is, whatever interest rate you get on your money, that's how long it takes your money, or I'm sorry, whatever interest rate you get on your money, if you divide that into 72, that's how long it takes your money to double. So let's say on average you find 7%, which is not likely, but I've seen it. I know it exists. I work with it all day, every day, right? 7% interest on average, and you divide that into 72. That means every 10 years, your money doubles. 72 divided by 7 is 7.2. So I'm sorry, 10.2. So let's say you have every 10 years, your money doubles. Okay. So if you want to retire at the age of 70, which is the new retirement age, and you want to have $2 million and it's going to double every 10 years, let's back it up 10 years. You want to retire at 70, now you're 60. Do you have 1 million? If you have the 1 million, then we know it's going to double to the 2 million and you'll be fine by 7. Let's back it up 10 more years, right? Let's say you're now 50. Well, you got to have 500,000. So the 500,000 will double to 1 million, then double to 2 million. Are you 50 and have your 500,000? Go back to 40. Half it again, 250,000. Do you have 250,000 at 40? 30? 125? 20? 62.5? Just keep thinking about that, right? Most people are just doing things financially with no end game in mind. Where are you and where do you want to be? Your number may be 1 million. Your number may be 7 million. I don't know. But you've got to be able to take the time to really do these smart money moves so you can figure out exactly where you are in order to be financially fit. Okay. So I, in the last few minutes, am going to run through and recap all 10 of our smart money moves for 2022. First one, create goals. I categorize them into four categories, and I suggest you have at least three goals per category. Health, business, income, relationship. Number two, review your expenses and rework your budget accordingly. What does reviewing your expenses do? Itemizes deductions. Make sure you list everything out for about 3 months. Check on all unnecessary subscriptions. Reduce all extra banking fees. Number three, build or boost your emergency fund 3 to 6 months of your expenses. Number four, review your credit report for all three bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. Number five, make a plan to pay off debt, either Snowball, Avalanche, or Balance Transfer Method. Number six, review your life insurance coverage along with your other insurance coverages. Make sure you have enough. Make sure you have the right kind. Number seven, automate your savings, short-term and long-term. Number eight, review and adjust accordingly your investment portfolio, i.e., are you more conservative, moderate, or risk-tolerant right now? And remember that past performance is not indicative of future results. Number nine, reconsider tax withholdings. Getting a tax refund is not necessarily the best thing. It means Uncle Sam used your money and not you throughout the year. And 10, decide if it is time for a new job, an additional income stream, maybe passive income, and then figure out what you want to do about that. You guys, I am so happy to have spent this hump day with you all and introducing our smart money moves for 2022. I look forward to getting great feedback from you guys. You can check all of the podcast platforms to hear this again. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It has been wonderful here with you guys on Hump Day, Smart Money Moves with Alina J. Connelly.